Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I'm happy today. I'm home from prison. Well, I was sent to prison with absolutely no evidence to support the case. It would have been virtually impossible for them to come up with evidence because I didn't do it. They know that. I believe it was done by the clerk, Sharon Tolliver, and Curlin Tolliver and Sharon Tyler. But whatever, I do have good news. The city of Benton Harbor income tax is back. It will be on the ballot for November. When the Benton Harbor resident proposed that the city enact by a referendum, a 1% income tax aimed at Whirlpool Corporation and all the other corporations who do not hire Benton Harbor residents to help solve the city of Benton Harbor financial crisis. Whirlpool and the mayor, at that time a puppet for Whirlpool, worked extremely hard to defeat the measures through a massive misinformation of lies campaign. This launched a massive effort to recall the puppet mayor for Whirlpool, James Hightower. We gathered more than enough required signatures to force a recall election and turned them in to the corrupt clerk, Sharon Tyler, and Curlin Tolliver, who verified them. The recall election was scheduled to be held May 6, 2014. But at Whirlpool Corporation and the puppet mayor request, the Barron County Sheriff's Department began investigating to stop the recall election at all costs. They started intimidating residents who had signed the petition. On April 24, 2014, Prosecutor Mike Sapik, another puppet of Whirlpool Corporation, decided to charge Reverend Pinckney call election. The attack on democracy in Benton Harbor showed that the corporate power structure is determined to crush anyone who stands in its way. Benton Harbor voters will be asked in November to approve a city income tax after the ballot proposal was okayed by the Benton Harbor City Commissioners on Monday, July 17, 2017. If the voters, which should vote in favor of the income tax, the proposed businesses and city residents will pay 1% on income, with non-resident who works in the city pays a 0.5% tax on the portion of their income they earned in the city. The retirement, unemployment, welfare benefits, compensation for service in the armed forces, along with gifts, will not be subject to the tax. The Benton Harbor commissioners also approved a resolution stating that the city income tax receipts will be used to repair the streets, alleys, and sidewalk. It will provide jobs for the residents of Benton Harbor and also for emergencies. The city income will bring in $4 million every year. So let's pass the Benton Harbor City Income Tax. This is something that we can do. The American criminal justice system, totally absent from justice. There is no such thing as justice in America. The criminalization of the United States citizen by the injustice system is now one of America's largest industrials. Prisons has become privatized, inmates compromised, cheap labor for the big corporations. It just doesn't make sense. The United States has the largest prison population in the world. They're only about 5% of the world population, but they have 25% of the prisoners that's in prison. That just doesn't add up. When will the people take a stand? When will the people know prevail? And we need to let them know, and we need to come together. It doesn't make a difference whether you're black, white, brown, red, yellow, blue, pink, or whatever other color you want to be. I really don't care. But we have to come together. It takes unity and organizing to make this thing happen. They're strength in numbers. And as soon as we know that, the sooner the better. We must start to act like we going to get this thing done. And you don't have to like each other to work with each other. So the most important thing that we come together, fight together, stand together against this corrupt system. This is something we can do. And I'm looking forward to working with everybody who want to work. Because, look, nothing supersedes the mission. Nothing. I don't care what it is. It will not supersede the mission. They sent me to prison, but it didn't stop the mission. So on that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend from California, Roslyn. Roslyn, are you there?
I'm here, Reverend Pinckney, and I'm so blessed to be back with you. I praise the Lord that you're out of prison. I praise the Lord for the man that you are and a real mentor to all of us for really showing us how important it is to stand up and to stand up for justice and freedom and education, no matter what color we are, that we all need to stand together in unity to claim back America, to claim back this great country, because we do not have it anymore. So I thank you. I love you. I love Dorothy. I thank you. I'm so sorry what you had to go through. But each one of us can learn from what you've gone through that how important it is to stand up and not let injustice go on, to take baby steps if you don't want to do it. Just baby steps.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that, because it's crucial that we understand how important it is to work together. Unity, unity. What they do, they divide and conquer. And they have been very, very successful at it. So we have an opportunity to try to work together. It seems like unity is like a secret weapon. Nobody want to use it. You know, everybody want to do their own thing. Everybody want to know everything there is in the whole wide world. And most times they don't know anything. So we moving forward. But listen, we don't have a whole lot of time, but I want you to talk to me about your adventure. I want you to start at the very, very beginning. Tell us what happened to you.
Well, I was a teacher for Los Angeles Unified School District, and thank you for this opportunity to share what happened to me, because this turned around my life. As though I said, if this hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't even get this. I worked every day, more every year, passed my STUL evaluation, and all of a sudden, one time, right before lunch, a student sprayed me in my face with toxic chemicals from a fire extinguisher. Every student is able to just pick up the fire extinguishers in all of LAUSD schools and spray them on any teacher or student or wherever they want to. There was another teacher that was sprayed at Gompers Middle School in Los Angeles, a black teacher, a wonderful man, Charles Smith, who died from his injuries. So I was sprayed in my face with the toxic chemicals by my student. I was gasping for air. My tongue was swelling. My nose was closing. I had an awful headache. My chest was killing me. My muscles felt like mush. I had an excruciating headache. I was so out of it. And the school refused to call the paramedics for myself and my injured students. They put me in a room where there was no nurse for 3 hours, and they had me sitting there alone, always hoping that I was going to live through this nightmare. And then they told me after 3 hours I would have to drive myself home. I was out in North Hills. I lived in Encino, which was probably about 45 minutes away, half an hour. And I don't even know how I got home. I had to keep saying red light, green light, red light, so I didn't end up going through the intersections and killing myself. Well, what happened is I went back, like I always do. I always work. I work so hard. I was sick, and I went back into my classroom that was filthy from the yellow powder that had been sprayed all over the toxic chemicals. And I kept ingesting it, and I kept getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And finally, I had to leave. I had pneumonia. I was so sick. And that was December 8th of 2000. I have not been back. I am getting sicker. My eyes are terrible. My teeth are falling out. I have fallen many times. I have fibromyalgia, which makes me exhausted, in terrible pain all the time. I sleep most of the time. I live in consequences. And I have been coughing since I was sprayed, and I have lung damage. Los Angeles Unified School District accepted my injuries. They gave me an act of violence, which is very hard to get. That was in 2002. But in 2009, Don Watkins, head of disability management, moved the money out from the allocated fund for injured teachers. She moved the money to the general fund. At that time, I was stopped being paid just a little bit of money, maybe $37 a week, which was so awful. And they started paying whore doctors, you know, whore doctors who write these unsubstantiated medical reports. So they started writing these medical reports, Dr. John Stahlberg. Eventually, he admitted that he didn't have the substantiated evidence for my medical records and what I had, but he was writing anyway. And who should give the doctor the medical diagnosis except my judge, Judge Gerald Cohn? And this is in the workers' comp system, which is a very corrupt, very disgusting system, which is just a magnet for all these disgusting, corrupt judges, doctors, lawyers. Sedgwick Insurance Company, that's one of the worst insurance companies, workers' comp insurance companies. So Judge Cohen changed all the facts in my case, changed all the testimony, gave Dr. John Stahlberg of Santa Monica, California, the medical diagnosis, which he wrote on, and admitted under oath that he didn't have the evidence for it. At that time, it stopped my money. It stopped my getting treatment. It stopped my getting care, as the law said, to cure or alleviate an injured worker's condition. There are thousands of injured workers such as myself. They go through this all the time. We're cash cows. The insurance companies and the employers make billions of dollars off of us. So anyway, this stopped, and I got sicker. And then I didn't have the money, and I was losing my house. I couldn't pay my, you know, like the taxes, how awful, food. At the end of the month, I didn't have money for food. And here I am. I now know what it is to almost be a homeless person and how awful. And if this hadn't happened to me, as I'm saying, I wouldn't even know. And at the same time, I'm so sick.
Mm.
I'm like, wow. Awful. This is awful that they purposely kill human beings, no matter what color, no man or woman. They purposely kill human beings. There is no justice in the workers' comp system.
Are you saying that the judge was acting like he had a medical degree and tried to diagnose you with? Are you saying that?
I'm saying that, and I have the documentation to prove everything that I have said over the years, because many people know that I've been with you for years telling the same story. The judge gave, instead of all the medical reports to Dr. Stahlberg, he gave them 1,000 pages of the trial papers. That meant the testimony that he had changed, and about they make most injured workers' cases psychiatric cases because it's easier to lower the medical rating so they don't have to pay you or medically treat you, as the law states. So anyway, so in the 1,000 pages, he gave Dr. Stahlberg 2 copies of a psychiatric medical diagnosis that Dr. Stahlberg never even said I had, never thought I had it. That was from 4 reports, 3 depositions, and Dr. Stahlberg then wrote a medical record for $16,770 to back up the judge. Dr. Stahlberg hadn't seen me for 4 years, but he wrote it anyway. The judge played doctor and devil and executioner to make sure that I would not get anything and die off.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. And when you sit down and think about stuff like that, and I tell you that, I have been to your home in California. That was one of the most beautiful homes I've seen. It was way up in the mountains. And it was scary driving up into that area. But it was a very, very, I hate that you lost your home. It was such a lovely home. And I tell you this, you know, there is no justice here in America. That's why I say, Rozzie, we have to stick together. We have to stand up for each other. Your problem is my problem. And we're on a mission. And we can't let nothing, we can't allow nothing to supersede the mission. And that's what we have to get through our head. There's no big I's and little U's, you know. And one of the things that we deal with more than anything else, you know, we got people who think they better than other people. There's no such thing. You got two legs, two arms. So, you know, I mean, unless you know, something that I don't know about. But my point is plain, Rozzie, we have to stand together. But listen, I got to move on, but let me say it. You got about 60 seconds. Tell us something that you want everybody to know and maybe how they can help you.
Okay. I'm going to give you my email address, Rozzie Wow, Rozzy Wow at AOL.com, Rozzy at AOL.com, and my number, 818-631-0513, and I need to hear from you if you've had a workers' comp case, if the doctor has overcharged you and lied in your medical report. Like my case was $16,770 for a medical report where the doctor lied, and several others. This is so important that we get together and speak up, because there's injured workers dying. Charles Smith, a wonderful human being, a black man, a teacher in Los Angeles. My greatest moment in court was when I showed his picture and I said to Don Watkins from LAUSD a couple of times that she killed him. She took away his money, his medical treatment, his medical care. It's absolutely disgusting what she did to him. They should be in jail. Los Angeles Unified School District is also destroying our children's education. And we need to do something about it. And please let me hear from you if anybody'd like to help me through this. I need to have some surgeries. Please contact me. It has been a nightmare, but I work for the Lord. My faith is in God. I cannot say it enough. I will not stop until my last breath, because killing off human beings is so despicable, so disgusting, like putting Reverend Pinckney in jail. How disgusting what they did to this wonderful human being. I will not stop. But also here in California, we have a man that's going to stand up for something else for our elections, and maybe we can start turning around things. It's called Stop the Top Two, and it's all Tom Palzer, Palzer, and he's going to be coming on in the next few weeks, and he's just really great. And we need other people to stand up and go to the town hall meetings, ask the questions, even if you hate your representative, educate people, because they do not know what's happening.
Rozzie, thank you. Thank you so much. Beautiful. And listen, those of you who are out there, I just want to say to each and every one of you that this is just the beginning. It's me today and you tomorrow. Whether you like it or not, they coming, because we're not together. It takes unity and organization to fight this demon, and this is something we can do. But listen, I got to bring on my good friend from New Orleans, Slidell, Louisiana, my very, very good friend, who on July the 8th gave me the shock of my life. She could have gave me a heart attack with the way she rode in here. But I really, really appreciate her. She's my friend, and my wife and myself, we both love her very, very much. And Belinda Brown, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Pinckney, and I'm enjoying the show. I'm here to tell you. Yeah, but you weren't going to have no heart attack, though. I shocked you. I surprised you, you and Dorothy.
Sure did.
But I wouldn't miss it for nothing in the world.
And I'm still glorious over this occasion.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely.
And
we just got back from Detroit again on yesterday.
Oh, wow. You know, I'm going to tell you, Pastor Pinckney, they showed up. It was standing room only in that place, and the people just, I mean, they just showered down the love and the support, you know, on you and Dorothy. And it was, I'm telling you, it was a thrill. It was a place to be, and I wouldn't have missed it for nothing in the world.
Well, you showered down enough love and support that, and I tell you, I'm really, 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 really happy, and I'm still talking about it, and so amazing. Even on yesterday, I was the keynote speaker at the Michigan Justice Voter Conference, and it was just a beautiful situation. I got a chance to really mingle in, and Dorothy and myself, we just had a tremendous time. But you know, like I told them on yesterday, you know, nothing supersedes the mission. You see, we're on a mission, you know, and it's going to take unity. To me, it doesn't make a difference what color you are. I don't care nothing about no color. See, and that's how they keep us divided. You know, you got Mexicans against Puerto Ricans. You got blacks against whites, whites against black. You got Mexicans against black. You know, it goes on and on and on, and they don't have to do no fighting, Belinda, none. All they have to do is sit back, smoke their cigars and eat all their rich food, and we killing each other.
You know, one of the things I heard you say, Pastor Pinckney, and I know you've been saying it loud and clear about, you know, they keep us as the busiest people in the world, you know, fighting each other, tongue lashing each other, back and forth, back and forth. And while we sit around with all of that foolishness and garbage, they got their foot on our neck, stealing our money. You know, what Rosalind just said, how corrupt these people is. These people are evil, wicked, corrupt, dirty, low-down, good-for-nothing people. And we cannot sit back and let these people get away just because they got us so busy, you know, being tossed to and fro, you know, looking for help in all the wrong places, okay? We got to stop that, Pastor Pinckney. We got to stop that. And I know you saying, I know your voice is being loud and clear. You said it at the meeting there in Detroit about how important it is for us to come together. You know, the strength is in unity and power in numbers. And I believe that it's something happening. It's mobilizing across the country, Pastor Pinckney, with your voice ringing like a bell. I mean, it's ringing like a bell. Even inside the jail, your voice was ringing.
Oh, that's beautiful, because I think that we can do this. I think that it will be done, and I think it's going to be done in our time, you know. And one of the things, Belinda, I know that you've been doing some tremendous work down there, and I'm really so proud of you. I mean, when I think about you and the work you have done and how you have connected and how you have done things, it's so tremendous, because people can learn down there things from you on how you do things. And also around the country. So we're working hard, and we're trying to get things done. And you know, there's going to be a few obstacles in our path. But look, if you're not with us, that means you're against us. So we got to roll over you.
Right.
That don't mean that we're going to kill you. That means we just going to roll over you and keep moving. That's all. And I use the term all the time, stick and move. Just keep moving.
Right. And Pastor Pinckney, is so powerful what you're saying, because, you know, I want you to know that, you know, you was the gasoline for my fire and the trailblazer for my work that I'm doing down here in Louisiana. you know, it's in my blood, you know, activism, civil rights and all that kind of stuff. But when I met you, you took it to another whole level. And that's what the people need. They need to be taken to another whole level, because a lot of these defunct organizations like the NAACP, the National Action Network, the Operation Push, all these defunct organizations have, you know, they didn't put so much, they didn't put so much doubt and unbelief in the people that, you know, because they've been, you know, haven't done nothing, most of them haven't done anything. So my thing is, you know, especially on the local level. Now, I know they're doing big things on the national level, but on the local level, people are suffering. You know, they can't even find an NAACP. Right now, we're down here in New Orleans, Louisiana. We just made national news exposing our president of the New Orleans branch for stealing money. You know, and then they come out and they cover for each other. The people
right.
is upset. The people is all outraged, you know, because, you know, they're not getting the help that they need. And then we got people in these powerful positions, and what they're doing is abusing and oppressing the people even worse than what they are. You know, just some negative news like that, you know, it's heartbreaking to the people.
Absolutely, and what you're saying is so true. And you know, when I think of the NAACP, I used to be president of the NAACP. And the thing, as a matter of fact, you know about this, they do not want you to do anything. All they want you to do is have the Freedom Fund dinner and send them money. That's all they care about. They don't care about the people. They don't care about
them. We need to expose that. What they did to you in Benton Harbor was an absolutely disgrace.
Well,
okay? They were sellouts. That's what they were. They did not want a powerful man that, like yourself, to stand up and fight back for the people. Okay? So what they did was got in touch with the NAACP National and got them people to come against you, Pastor Pinckney.
Absolutely, because always remember the corporation Whirlpool made them an offer they could not refuse. If you want my support, you got to get rid of Pinckney. Pinckney is not going to give you the amount of money that I'm going to give
That's
you.
What they
Matter
said.
Of fact, Whirlpool Corporation went to the head of the NAACP. They went in limousines to confront them.
Roll
all the Reverend Edward Pinckney.
Right.
Now, you know, well, actually, I really enjoy it because that you know, they was, you know, if you that concerned, and then they took a couple of black guys with them, Atterbury and I don't know what this guy, Gully, and those folks, they took them with them to tell them, we got to get rid of Pinckney. We don't care how you get rid of Pinckney. We want him gone. And that's what they do. But you know what? All it do is give me energy. That's all it does.
Well, Pastor Pinckney, you the first one that I ever seen on YouTube burning the NAACP cards. You know, that right there really ticked them off. And what you were sending was a strong message. What they needed to do was get their act together. They should have received that as a prophetic warning, okay, for them to get themselves together, okay, and stop, lying. That's what they needed to do, was stop perpetrating a fraud, okay, saying one thing and doing another, and begin to get themselves in order so that they can serve the purpose that they say that they was there for. Because
Absolutely.
The people is not ignorant no longer. You know, people got, you know, one thing you got to realize, Pastor Pinckney, people have been perishing there in Benton Harbor, but you can't, because of a lack of knowledge, you came along and you begin to educate people. You begin to tell them what was really going on. You told them the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You showed it to them. You told them. You took them to the places. They can see it with their own eyes, Pastor Pinckney. And as you begin to expose, people's eyes begin to come open. So they had to do something. They had to do something, and that's the only reason why they railroaded you and fabricated it with some fraudulent information to put you in prison, Pastor Pinckney. But you out now. Praise God, you are out, and you still on fire.
Hey, you know, Belinda, the only thing I got to tell you is going down, and we ain't taking no prisoners because we can't afford to see them. That's what I'm saying. And, And unfortunately, we're going to have to shoot the wounded because I don't want to carry them. So we right where we at. And it's just
It's exciting, Pastor Pickney, because,
right.
You know, when you got out, I saw Dorothy on YouTube. She did her holy dance and shouted and you know, it was just a blessing. It was so inspirational just to see her, praising God the way she did, because she had faith and she knew that the day was going to come that they had to loose you and let you go, Pastor Pickney. But it's on now. It's going down now. They thought they had something, but now they really got somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you, it's been tremendous since I've been home. And I'm excited myself. I am so excited. I'm just thrilled because now we can get things done. But I got an opportunity to put things together and also to make sure that people understand the importance of unity. There's nothing more important than unity in organizing because there's power in numbers. When I say power in numbers, I mean exactly that, Belinda.
We're going to need that power, Pastor Pickney, because down here in Louisiana, you know, I really want to get with you on that because we're organizing and mobilizing the people down here because we no longer want to be known as the incarceration capital of the world. And what we're saying is that Louisiana needs to repent. These people need to, you know, publicly and nationally repent for putting innocent people in jail, for, you know, being the highest incarceration, you know, place in the whole world per capita, you know, and they need to repent for it because we didn't find out the reason why they have done these evil acts against the people here in Louisiana, Pastor Pickney. I'm going to need your help, and I'm going to need the help of the people across the country because we're going to stand up and we're going to shout it loud from the rooftop. Okay, and we want our voices to be heard into the whole world. We want it to go into the nations about how bad the people have been treated here in Louisiana when it comes to the criminal justice system.
Wow. You know what, Belinda, that is tremendous. That's a strong message, and we must continue to get this message out and let people know that, you know, things can be done. You have done some marvelous work down there, and I'm so proud of you. I tell you, I can't even sit here and just think if we had a hundred Belinda Browns working around the country, you know, how we could resolve this thing, you know, and some of the issues that exist today, you know. And we just need to communicate more with each other. And, you know, and here's the key word, too. Look, me and you, see, we love each other, you see, but
right. You
don't have to love each other or even like each other to work together. We got to get that through our thick heads because we think if we don't like you, we're not going to work with you. That's another way to divide and conquer. You know, and believe me, they plant people into your organizations also, so they can also do keep everybody divided. So my job is more or less is to keep moving. That's why the term stick and move. That way you can't plant your feet there long enough, and they can't attack you long enough to dissolve whatever you're trying to do. Because believe me, you got people who are being paid to come in and do certain things. And Homeland Security, that's basically another Nazi term. That's what that is. Nazi Germany, that's what they use, Homeland Security. And that's how they got Jews to put other Jews in the gas chambers and stuff like that. They've been working this thing for a long time, and we're doing the same thing that those Jews was doing to each other, blacks killing blacks. You see, one of the things that people talk about, you see, when you talk about Chicago and then all the killing there, it is killing. But Chicago is not the most dangerous place to live. People don't understand that you got 15 million people there or more. So you get 10 killings over a weekend, whatever it is, or 500 for the whole year, that doesn't tell you a whole lot. But we have to learn to live together and fight. Look, Brenda, I got to bring on Caesar shortly, so I want you to, if you got something to say, go on and take about 2-3 minutes and tell us what you want us to know.
Well, Pastor Pinckney, you're going to be bringing on Dr. Caesar. He's one of the most powerful men here in the state of Louisiana, and I'm excited about that. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're making a lot of tractions down here, but we have a whole lot more work to do. But I want the people to know that you are a bad, bad man, Pastor Pinckney, and that's B as in bad. and like MC Hammer said, you can't touch this.
Amen. That's right,
Pinckney. So you keep on, you get me, you know, every time I hear your voice, I get fired up and want to do something. And I want the people to know that one of the things that we have to do is listen to the message that you're sending out loud and clear. It's together that we have to stand. It's together we stand, or divided we shall fall. And that's what we have done down here in Louisiana, because we got to gang up on them like they've been ganging up on us. And we ganged up on them, Pastor Pinckney, and I'm here to tell you, one of the lead district attorneys, you know, Walter Reed, you know, had been in office for over 3 decades. The man had been in office, and everybody was afraid to even put their name in the hat to run against this man, him and the sheriff. They was running neck to neck, total control over the state of Louisiana. They was running the DA's Association, the Sheriff's Association, and everybody, when you mention their name, everybody just clamped up in fear. But I'm here to tell you today, the sheriff is no longer in office, and we're waiting on our indictment against him any day now, because we want to see him spend the rest of his life in prison. The district attorney have already been indicted and sentenced to prison, and him and his son both. And we're not playing with them, and they know we're coming after them, Pastor Pinckney, with a vengeance, because we want payback. We want payback for the citizens here in Louisiana.
All right, Belinda. I love it. I love it. I love that fire, girl.
If they don't give it to us, we're going to take it.
That's right. That's right. Oh, that's beautiful. You know, and you know, there's a lot of, like, here we have a guy by the name of Mike Sepik, who is a known criminal, but unfortunately, they're well protected around here. They, you know, they have the FBI, the sheriff, all of them working together against the community.
Right.
But we might just, like, you know, bring in the FBI from another area who forced them to come in and investigate this man. I think that we can do it. I think we're on the right track. And I have talked to several people who want to come in according to them. I don't have any trust or faith in them, but I got some ideas that we might have to put into operation. But I tell you, you're a perfect example of what you can do if you work hard. I appreciate that.
All right, Pastor Pinckney, I thank you so much. I'm going to continue to enjoy the show. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, then. You take care. That's my good friend, Belinda Brown. I tell you, you know, most times people don't even know you're fighting for your life, you know. These folks the demonic spirit that they have and they possess is amazing. You know, just like in Barron County, they have their very own, you know, when they die, the Barron County Courthouse was just dropping to hell. You know, that's how it's going to be. You know, they just going to drop. You know, when they die, they just, you know, they go straight to hell. They don't even, and they try to build them up like they somebody. You see, you can't put nobody in heaven. I don't care how hard you try. You know, if you're a demon, you're a demon. And if you know that corruption exists and you accept it, you're just as evil as that person. So that's one of the things that they need to know. And that's another thing that you need to know, because don't wait until it's too late. And I try to tell people, the reason I fight is because you don't have the courage to fight for yourself and your children. But look, it ain't about you no more. It's all about the future. Let's continue to fight. Let me bring on Dr. Caesar right now, because he's been waiting. And a very, very good friend. I had the opportunity of meeting Dr. Caesar. Dr. Caesar, are you there? Dr. Caesar, are you there?
Well, let me move on. Dr. Caesar, you are not there. I don't know. Let me move on. Absolutely, absolutely. Belinda Brown.
Yeah, call it. He just calling your name. Call that number.
Uh-huh.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what was he waiting on there, Mr. Caesar? I thought you'd be listening to the show. It's always important to be ready when we're ready for you to be come on. So it's crucial. It's crucial that people understand the importance of always being on time. You know, one of the things we have a habit of doing is not being on time. We have a habit of doing whatever we want to do rather than just do what's right. It's crucial that we understand this and do what's right. It's important that we stay focused and do things that need to be done. Let me bring in my good friend, Robert, who has been a true soldier, and I really, really appreciate him. He went beyond the call of duty when I was in prison, kept me alive. There was nothing too great for my good friend, Robert, to do for me. I could ask him just about anything, and he would do it. And it came down to the protest on July the 11th, and I really, really is overly impressed with this young man. Robert, how are you doing today?
Good yourself, Rem Pinckney. Since I'm a soldier, you're the general. We got General Pinckney calling the shots.
Yeah,
but here we are, and heard the sister. I've been listening since Roz was on from California, and
mm-hmm.
talking about her injury from the fire extinguisher. And it sounds as though that fire extinguisher company should be liable, along with the individuals, including the school system, that is denying her justice, like
mm-hmm.
they denied you justice and convicting you with no evidence.
Absolutely.
And like the Sister Brown in Louisiana says, we want payback. We're going to get payback for them arresting you, prosecuting you, and incarcerating you with no evidence.
Absolutely.
And the day you were sentenced on, was it December 14, 2014, I came outside and made a statement to the media that you were convicted with the 13th Amendment, that abolished slavery. However, it says at the end of that statement in the 13th Amendment that a person cannot be held involuntarily unless convicted of a crime. So they created a crime to incarcerate you, and we want justice for that.
Absolutely, Robert. You know, one of the things I did when I was out there visiting Rods, I met a guy from the Veterans Association who helped veterans, and we talked extensively about the Agent Orange and stuff like that. And I did have his number, but I lost it. But I'm gonna try to get his number, maybe get it to you, so you can talk to him, because you're dealing with the Veterans Administration. You know, you need some firepower to deal with them, because they're just, you know, they're just like the Nazis was, you know. They, you know, whatever they do is final. There's no recourse when it comes to them unless you have enough people supporting you to get this thing done. And I believe at this stage, Robert, that you need some additional help. And I think that, you know, one of the things that's truly important is that, you know, we understand what we're fighting against. See, a lot of times, most people don't even know their enemy, you know. And even though you was in the service, you know, you was fighting against the Vietnamese and everybody else. But the true enemy was the United States government. They are the true enemy.
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly.
You know.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, you said they're just like the Nazis. These are the Nazis. After World War II, they invited all these Nazis to escape from Germany and come here. They set up the system, just like the concentration camps that they had in throughout Europe, the Nazis had. They got them here. That's what these prisons are, concentration camps, death
mm-hmm.
camps. Because the food
yep.
that they served you, the like you mentioned, the Agent Orange, the stuff that they used, they knew that was poison, a toxic to the human being, to the human body. but they use it anyway. DuPont was one of the major manufacturers of that. Monsanto. I mean, these companies are probably perhaps run by Nazis, by descendants of Nazis. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're suffering from today because of that nonsense that continues to carry us through our devastation. You know, these people think they're so strong. If they can get their hands on God, they would do to him what they're doing to us. But since they can't get their hands on God, we're suffering for it.
Oh, absolutely.
That's how diabolical they are.
Right.
Devils.
And remember, Robert, see how they got us so separated, you know. It's always somebody we don't like. There's always something,
right.
Somebody on this lower level, there's always somebody we don't like. I don't like the way he walk. I don't like the way he talk. I don't like the way he acts. I don't like his wife. I don't like his cousin. You know, it's always something we don't like. And we don't even know that division itself, it gives them more power than they have.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I don't like the way he looks.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. And it's amazing how we allow them to get away with this stuff. And we haven't figured it out. You know, we got some intelligent people out here, but they don't appear to be intelligent because now they're not educating the students, not in the ghetto, not in the black community. They're not educating the blacks, the Mexicans, and all these other people because they want them to, if they have a job, it's going to be a servitude job. They might let a few sneak through to say that, you know, that it's not that way. And here's another thing. They got all these athletes making millions and millions of dollars. And the way they give back to the community, they give them gym shoes, stuff like that. They should be bringing medical centers, supermarkets, gas stations where we can have gas prices that would keep the money inside the community. See, right now, all the money that comes into the black community leaves the community. It comes in by eight and is out by nine. But we accept it. You know, we don't know no better.
That's still a process called social engineering. We've been bamboozled so much until, like you say, we accept it. We're happy with being dumbed down. And that's what they've done in this country, dumbed the populace down to divide and conquer. As you say, they've created classes instead, along with the race issues, along with all the other issues. They put that out there, and then we buy into it, we eat it up, and then we suffer from it.
Absolutely. And it's a shame that, you know, we walk around here thinking that we're the smartest people in the world. We know everything there is, and basically we don't know nothing, you know. And it's it's going to continue like this until people put their heads together and decide that it's no longer going to be like this. But, it amazed me, Robert, and I tell you this. But listen, Robert, you got about 1 minute to say whatever you want. I got to bring on Dr. Caesar. And tell me what you want people to know.
I want people to know, as you stated throughout your communications, is that we're being divided and conquered. We're given the social media that these young folk are tied into is a brainwashing process, a conditioning process. And we need to read, understand, study to show that self-approve on our own, individually. As we allow the media, we allow to be distracted with sports. And you mentioned those athletes. They give them 15 to 20 years, and they bankrupt, and they get all that money back, and it goes back into the coffers for the next batch of jocks they bring on.
That's right. You said they end up being broke because they don't want to really bring it back into the community so it can circulate. They don't want to do that.
No.
Remember this, they tell them not to do it.
That's right.
You know? So that's the sad part. But listen, I got to move on, my brother, and I want to
thank you so much
for being on the show. And, and we just have to stay focused, stay positive, and remember, there's strength in numbers. You know, and
strength in numbers.
More important than that, strength in numbers. Listen, my good friend, Robert McKay, excellent friend,
And that's what friendship is all about, you know. We have to learn what friendship is because a lot of black folks don't know what friendship is no more. And I'm telling you from my experience, I can't say talk about white people or stuff like that, but most white people that I have came in contact with, we it was love at first sight because that's the way it is. But listen, I got to bring in Dr. Caesar. Dr. Caesar, are you there? Dr. Caesar, are you there? Sir Caesar, are you there? From Baton Rouge, New Orleans? Okay. I guess not. All right, well, let me move on. All righty. But anyway, you know, it's important that we take a stand and do what needs to be done. There's nothing more important than to stand up and be counted because we're failing. We're failing at stuff that's important. And you know, everything should be rooted in the future of our children because that's how you maintain. You maintain by dealing with the future of your children and building, and this is where we fail. Also, I want to note that my good friend Ken, the TIs who we talked about last week, I love my TIs also, and they're being targeted by our government also. So we're dealing with things that need to be done, and the fight continues. You know, it's going to continue with or without you. What you do is crucial. So you have to make a decision on what you're doing and how you're going to do it. And there are a lot of stuff that we can do and we got to learn to do. You know, we got to learn to take a stand. You know, we got to tell the Americans the truth. You know, they're being brainwashed and really don't even know it. If Dr. Caesar, if you're there, you got a few minutes if you're there. Dr. Caesar, come in.
Hello, Brother Pickney. This is Caesar.
I've been waiting on you, big fella. We start at 4 o'clock your time, so I figured to get you a few minutes. But listen, you don't have a whole lot of time, so tell me what you want to talk about. Tell this audience because they're excited. They've been waiting on.
Yeah, well, you know, I let the good Lord help me to choose my battles, and first of all, I want to just say I'm so proud of you, brother. Welcome back. Sister Belinda could tell you that, you know, I was asking about you, and one word, I was going to go down there and get you out myself.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but she said that at that time they had given a date of release, and I said, well, the good Lord answered my prayers because they don't want me to go to Michigan.
All right,
But right now, the case I've been handling is the Alton Sterling case, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, July 5th last year, who was killed, and the family asked me to help him out. I went there this year, and the Black Panthers showed up, but they were going to do a peaceful demonstration. I went there. I was with them. Well, to make a long story short, the police were not friendly. They were not peaceful. They were violent. We were behind the barricades. They crossed the barricade, were aggressive, and shot our women up with pellets and stunned them. Now, I told them, now they opened up a can of you-know-what when they did that, because I said, you all have been, you know, slamming brothers for over 400 years. We can take it. But please do not touch our women. The leader of the Black Panther happened to be Miss Crystal Muhammad. They slammed her to the ground. Busted up her arms and then laid. They shot one of my other friends with a pellet, and then she fell to the ground. She said, I'm hit. The women were wailing and weeping. They thought it was live ammo. This tall white guy came out of nowhere with an M16-like rifle and just automatic fire and fired on about 40 innocent bystanders from the community and about 40 Black Panthers. They arrested 7. I had to use my military background to outmaneuver them. I was not hit. And we're going to take them to court And presently, I'm recalling the Louisiana Attorney General for malfeasance in office. And I'm also running for state treasurer to use it as a platform. But that's it in a nutshell.
Well, you know what? That's beautiful, you know. And, you know, that's part of the story that we have never heard, especially mm-hmm. how they were shooting up. Also, during that time, two police officers got killed. Is that correct?
Yeah, a police officer in New York was killed at point-blank range because what happens is when they hear these stories, they're usually people who were affected also, and they just have had enough, and they just go off. So we don't, you know, advocate them, you know, just going out killing people, but it sends a message to them, if you kill one of us unjustly, somebody else might have to pay. I have nothing to do with that, but they are promoting that.
Absolutely, and I'm so glad you said that because we had an incident here where two bailiffs were killed by this guy named Larry Gordon, and they praising these two bailiffs who knew that the courthouse is corrupt, yet said nothing, and they trying to put them in heaven. They're not going to heaven. They're going to hell. But look, this guy Larry Gordon, he had told me years ago, he said, I would never go to trial in that corrupt courthouse. You know, he was a white guy, and he was, you know, and I think about him and him telling me that all the time. Because he told me, he said, you had to be out of your mind trying to go to court, go to trial in Barron County. And he said it. He said, you know, one of the things that really got my attention while I was in prison, this one lady sent me this letter. This letter was it's so important to me. I mean, it has changed my way of thinking. I've been saying this all along. They said 33%. Of all the white people that live in this area, Barron County, it's pretty much probably in your area too, are good people.
Okay.
You know.
Right.
You know, and
right.
But the problem is 67% are bad people. They're corrupt. They're, you know, and they're liars. And he said, and she said, what they do, and this is not a common lady, this is a very wealthy lady. And she said,
wow.
And she said that, look, she said, the 67% intimidates the 33% so they can get a 99.9% return on everything.
Wow.
He said, and that was, to me, was one of the most powerful letters I ever received. And I'm going to be talking about this forever because she told the story. She been saying what I've been saying, and now she just verified what I was saying all along. See, but we, you know, we give these people a free pass. You can't get
right.
Wrong is wrong. I don't care how you look at it. If it's wrong,
right.
If it's wrong for me, it's wrong for you. You know,
exactly.
And they try to propel these judges and prosecutors like they something special. Law enforcement, they put on their pants one leg at a time, just like I do.
I told one judge. I told one judge his robe was the wrong color and he needed his cone.
You say his robe was the wrong color, huh? Talk.
Yeah, and he needed his cone. He wants to give me a night in jail, but my powers that be backed him off.
That's a beautiful statement. I love that statement. Could I steal that from you or use that once in a while? Cause I like that.
Hey, you are welcome to it. And I have ordered a call to arms in Louisiana because they're slamming our brothers, and one of them took it up. He's an Indian from New Iberia, Louisiana. Police thought he was stealing a car. He said, man, I ain't doing nothing. And the dude said, I'm off duty, stop. He said, I ain't stopping nothing. The police fired at him. Coach Hees had a 44 Magnum, and he fired back and saved his own life. Black Coach Hees.
Beautiful. I tell you, you know, Dr. Caesar, hey, I want you to come on next week so me and you can finish this conversation because we got less than a minute, but I want you to tell us what you want us to know, and if you can do it within a minute, hey, that would be perfect, and it'll be recorded, and you'll be able to listen to it. Go right ahead.
All right, I'd be honored to do it, my brother, because you came to Louisiana, I met you, And I said, this is a down-to-earth brother. You trained my good sister. I call her Angela Davis Belinda Brown. And, hey, she is tough. She is tough. So we're on the front. And we welcome you. Come to Louisiana, eat some gumbo with us. But I'll be honored to be on next week. Thank you.
All right, all right. That is one beautiful, beautiful situation. See, it's amazing what we can do when we learn to work together. And
that's right.
I tell you, folks, this is the beginning, because whether we know it or not, we're at war. You know, this is no conflict. This is the real deal. They're trying to see now, will we be able to sustain? You know, will you be able to sustain? That's the big thing. See, Barron County shot their best shot at me. You know, the only weapon that they got that they could use against me is to put me in prison. You know, and I survived. It came out stronger than ever before. You know, I don't care what they say. And what my brother, Dr. Caesar, said, these guys got the wrong color robes on. You know what I'm saying? They left their other roles at home, you know, I guess because they was dirty. But, hey, you walk around here with dirty hands, hands unclean. That's what it is. But listen, I got to go. Time's up. I want to thank each and everyone for being on the show. And thank you so much, all my listeners. This is just a beginning. And I tell you, Sunday, same time, same station. Let's do it. Thank you.